thank you so much, Lord God, for being the great, good, wonderful Father that you are to each and every one of us. Today we want to honor you, Lord. We want to give you our praise, give you our adoration, give you all that is due to your name. And we open ourselves afresh to you, Holy Spirit, to speak into our hearts and lives, to lead, guide, direct us, and teach us as only you know how. And so we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together and to declare your wonderful name. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Kerry.
Amen. Thank you. Just had a thought, because for us, obviously, a few of us, we haven't met in person for a while. What's the most exciting thing for you about coming together again? Or even for you guys that go and visit other churches, what do you love the most about going to other churches and seeing what God, or why do you go to other churches, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I probably haven't posed the question, but like for me, I thought, oh, I don't know about you, but like all the time we've had, I've actually enjoyed it in one aspect. Obviously, church is fantastic, but I've really enjoyed my time at home, a little bit of a quieter lifestyle, pressing into God just personally for myself without thinking kind of, I guess when you're in leadership on a church, you're thinking often about what's happening and so forth, the organisational side and stuff. It's been great. And then I've also gone, what have I missed about church? What have I missed church? You know, because we know we're the church, aren't we? So it doesn't matter how we've set it up. We don't usually do tables. We're like, we're going to do things a little differently. We've obviously got some protocols to follow on other ways, but even just coming back together going, I don't want to sink back into the norm for the sake of norm unless the norm is fulfilling everything we see in God's word for the church to do and be. You know, that always pose that question, if your church closed its doors, would the community know that you'd gone? And it's like, we have to have a look at that question and go, why not, what is it about, you know? So does anyone have any, like, who's excited to be back together to praise God together? Yeah, amen. Do you know what, that's probably my top one, probably because I've been thinking this over. I'll answer for you, unless if you got something, put your hand up. I'm excited to sing together and hear some other voices singing with me and exalting God, because it's powerful, yeah? Many of our church will know the battle I've physically been through in the last 6 months, and I've missed probably that above all else, is just having others to worship with and to mull through the Word of God with, yeah? That's what, it's not just coming to hear Dad preach. We've been hearing him, you know, do messages online and so forth as well, but to share the word, to share what God's been doing, to maybe share a revelation that then someone can bounce off. And we were talking about this recently, Jenny, the real fellowship where you start sharing the word of God and your spirit's so alive because the Holy Spirit's ministering to you both. I miss that, yeah? I've picked over the last 6 months those in my life that do that, and they're the ones I've really stayed in contact with, just to have someone that's, you know, that's alive when you're bouncing off with them, yeah? Anything else come to mind, what you love about getting together as a church at all? Have I answered it all? It sums it all up. But yeah, I just really want to know, you know, we come, I'm so excited you guys are here. We love it. We're this church that we've been small for many, many years, but we always get people that come in and visit, and I love it because we're the body of Christ. And I'm like, I am 100% convinced that each of you have something to add to this, be it through a conversation afterwards or just be it with your presence and exalting God with us. I love the body of Christ as a whole. So thank you so much. Yes. Welcome. Thank you. You're so welcome. It's yes, you too. Thank you. That's awesome. I love it. Well, the one thing is, you might see in the Word of God as well, when they got together at the tabernacle, it was to hear the Word of God. So I would just like to share a scripture as we come into around some time of worship together, praise and worship. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, and he's worthy of our praise." Amen. So would you stand with me as we declare his praise? Thank you, Lord.
Stop the Lord.
For the glory of Jesus' name.
name of our Lord, don't we? Lift him up, praise him, honor him, glorify him. And you know, it's quite amazing. This week, I just singing that song and seeing how God works and all the different ways that God, through the songs there, have just spoken to me there. But last week, for the first time in a long time, we were able to go back into the local nursing home up the road here called Warina. And they said, look, we've missed you. We want you back. The people want you back. And so we went in there with an agenda, with a program, sort of a couple of songs picked. And God took over. And totally, the whole program went out, didn't it? Yeah. Everything we picked went. And we changed the songs, we changed everything as we flowed along. And it was great to see people there responding to us, exalting the name of Jesus. And you know, that can happen anywhere we go. That can be our life. That can be how God works through us and speaks through us into situations. And right now, I don't know, does anyone here have a need in their body or in their life that they want us to pray for? We want to see God exalted in that situation. And we'd love to pray together, but a little differently if anyone responds. Don't get scared. But really, I believe that God has got he wants to exalt himself in everything that we are, say, and do. Amen? In our physical bodies, in our situations, in our lives, in our testimony, and all that we are. And if we sing that song, Lord, I exalt thee, yeah, that's fine. But be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory, Lord, be seen through all the earth, in and through each and every life in this place. Can we sing that chorus again, Kerry? Maybe there's someone that will raise. Just really believe. Protocol indoors for wearing masks, but if you're drinking water or tea or coffee at the time and you're supposed to be singing, no, you're not supposed to be singing. How can you worship God and not sing?
It's just not recommended.
I don't know if they're trying to quieten the church down, but there's a church that's not too quiet, and I glorify his name.
Amen.
I praise his name. I give him praise and honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.
And I think we all need to do the same. Maybe someone wants to share a testimony of how good God's been in your life. Maybe there's an exaltation that you can bless us with. Has anyone got something else they'd like to share? Take your seats for a moment. Just take your seats for a moment. God can't have been that dormant over the last few weeks in 6 months. Life.
6 months.
Hey? Go, Shelley, yes.
And so she sent the message out to family and friends and asked them to pray. And then she just was obviously a bit worried, but was still believing that she'd be healed. And then I just was told yesterday by my mum, who's good friends with her, That she'd had further scans and further tests, and it's been confirmed that she has some kind of strange asthma.
Oh, really?
And that now there's no cancer.
Yeah, right. Glory to God.
Which
He's
is
a
amazing.
Good God.
That's awesome.
Someone else? Someone else? Yo, yeah, Wenica. We can't hear you through that thing. Yeah. Glory to God,
yes,
yeah. Bless the Lord.
So good. Awesome.
Anyone else? Feel free to let, you know, God speak through you. Come on, anyone that's around, that's, God's been putting things on your heart. Come on, Rake. I know you're itching to get off that chair.
Come on, Rake.
Do you want a microphone?
Sure.
Yeah, God's been good.
Amen.
We've been at this now for, 9 months? Coincidentally, it's the same length of time that a woman's pregnant before birth. And we know just before birth, there are birth pangs, but then there's joy that comes afterwards. When this whole thing started back in late February, March, we began to pray as a family. And one thing that God put on my heart, and He put it on our hearts, and He put it for us, and we felt led that this was for us, not to share, but I'm happy to share it today. And He took us to that scripture in Genesis where Isaac was in the land that he didn't own yet, and there was a famine. And he thought in his heart to go down to Egypt, but God told him to stay. And that year he sowed generously. And in the famine, he reaped a harvest 100-fold. And God put in our hearts during this time to sow bountifully, to bless people, to really just see where we can honestly make a difference financially in other people's lives. Because that's something that God has put really strongly on my heart, and I've always been a giver. I've finances never held me back, and I'm not bound by it, and I praise God for that. And it doesn't mean that I've got, you know, silos full of cash or anything like that, but what I have I give to God, and I say God uses. And it's, I've got to give God the glory. We, through situations at work, now the people at church might know some of it, through situations at a job that I was in, there was supposed to be some shares, etc. Long story short, I ended up owing the ATO a lot of money, which was due to no fault of my own. The company went down the gurgler, and I was allocated shares that I never received, but due to a tax legislation change in 2007 by Kevin Rudd, I was now liable for it. And it was significant. I kid you not, it's a brand new car I can buy with the amount that I owed. And you can't fight the ATO. I have gone through so many court cases with them that I didn't have to pay, but it got basically, the next level was basically go to the tax court, and that's going to cost me a lot of money. So I stopped it there. I wasn't going to get anywhere. It was a significant amount of money. And I reached a deal with the ATO to begin to pay it off sort of on a monthly basis. And, you know, to me that was a big setback. But I remember watching a video from Michael J. Jr. He's a comedian. He's in Gateway Church. He's a Christian. And he was talking, he talks about your setup. How, instead of looking as a comedian for getting laughs out of people, he's looking for how God can use him to bless people there. And a little did I realize that this was a setup for a testimony that's going to give God glory. And I'm standing here today that in the middle of this pandemic, the last thing you would think will happen physically will be that God can move in such a way that in one go I could pay off the whole debt.
Wow.
With money that I didn't have a week before I paid it off. That all of a sudden God began to position things, blessings that He has lined up for us years before. All of a sudden things began to shift. And I'm standing here today telling you that it was nothing that I have done. But this is glory to God Almighty. Amen. That he has blessed us and He has protected us. And I can honestly say that during this time of famine, God has indeed positioned us and He has blessed us to be a blessing to others. But He has protected us. He's kept us safe, not just from the sickness and the disease and the pandemic, but also from lots of other things financially that could happen. And during this time, I've actually been able to shift job to another job. Ken knows the story. It's been a long time coming. But eventually, it's during these times where things you'd think wouldn't, you would do moves and things that will seem contrary to the world, like you just don't do that during a pandemic. You should be hoarding. Your silo should be full. Instead, we're opening the taps. We're saying no, because this is going to God's fields. And I can tell you now that when you water the paddocks that God tells you to water, He's the one that looks after the crops.
Amen. Yeah.
He's the one that makes the crops grow. It's not me. It's unnatural. It's unnatural to think in your mind that during these pandemics you should sow, you should bless, you should give out, and yet God provides. He waters the seed, He protects the crops, and He blesses us. And you know, it just comes back. I keep thinking of that scripture in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus say that so that people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen.
See, our good works is not a requirement to be saved. It is an outflow of being saved. Mm. That's why we do good works. We don't do good works to get saved, for it is by grace that we've been saved, not by works. Ephesians 2. And I love the fact that we're able, as a Christian community, during these times when the world tried to silence us, we're able to birth new things into the kingdom of God. When the world thought and the enemy thought he's going to shut us up, no, he basically just allowed the word to spread out through the communities. But now is the time. Now is the time where it is really that time where God wants to release us like never before. It is time to undo those old ways of thinking, those old ways, those sacred cows, those sacred religious cows we've been holding so dearly onto, of saying, this is how I must worship God, and it is time to sacrifice those and say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. I don't want to serve you the way I want to serve you. I want to serve you the way you want me to serve you. You are the king. I'm doing this for you. If I'm going to do it for you, I want to do it the way that you want me to do it. And it might be different for each one of us. It might be different for each one of us, but we should stop putting chains on people and saying this is the way you should serve God. Instead, we should encourage people to serve the Lord God Almighty.
Mm.
And you know, wherever the name of Jesus Christ is preached, we should pray for those people. Paul says whether they preach it in jealousy or they preach it authentically, either way, name of the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified.
Amen.
And the name of Jesus is more powerful than any other name. And I'll stop there.
Yes. Awesome.
Is there anyone else who has? Thanks so much for that, Rick. That's awesome. Is there anyone else who's got anything to share? Or I just still want to put it out there. Yep. Do you want to share from there or do you want to? Yeah, go for it.
I'll bring the mic over to you if you like. Hang on. Just so that everyone can hear clear. You don't have to strain your voice. There you go. Yeah. Is it on? Hang on. No, it's not. It is now.
Hi, my name's Michelle. I feel a bit weird because I don't normally do this sort of thing in the middle of strange churches. I've been reminded this morning by you guys about how even when the times are tough, God provides above and beyond. So I run a men's rehab up in Yakandanda, and it's been really tough going for a lot of years. We're very small. We've been kind of eking out an existence, just trusting in God. Haven't had much financial support, but every time we needed it in the last minute, as he likes to leave it, he would provide for the next step. And so we've always gone that way, just trusting that if we just keep taking step by step, he will do what's needed in his timing. And when coronavirus first came, it meant we had to close our doors and everything for a little while. And we were quite uncertain because at that time we didn't know how we were even going to pay the next 6 months worth of rent on our property with no additional residents coming in or anything like that, because we're not for profit and we're non-government funded. And one of the reasons we've always felt that was important is that because we're a Christian organisation and wanted the freedom to teach people about Jesus, oftentimes government grants won't support you in those areas. But because of coronavirus, we were eligible for these special business grants and everything like this.
Oh, wow.
And we've actually received all of the 10,000 grants that are eligible. And I was eligible for the JobKeeper as well, which meant that, again, our organisation didn't have to pay my wages, which weren't a lot, but it all helps, you know. And so even though it's been very difficult going through it, because with the border closures up there, we lost all our volunteers, we haven't, you know, had any support with the guys that we had. But through it all, like, as hard as it's been to try and remind yourself of the good that God does, despite the hardship. And it was interesting because I just remembered now when you were speaking that when I was in Perth a few years ago training, there was a prophecy prayed over that we would receive government funding. And I just remembered that now when you were saying that God sets all of these things up behind the scenes, you know, and we've just got, it's nothing that we've done, it's nothing that, you know, we've earned or, you know, set out or prepared for. And he's come along and blessed us at the time when so many others aren't, you know, are struggling so much. And you feel a bit guilty sometimes as well when there are so many people struggling. But I just want to thank God and thank everyone else who's continued to support through those times. So, that yeah, just remember, you don't know where it's coming from or when. But, yeah, so thank you.
Awesome. Wow. How about that? God is amazing. You know, as we were listening to that then, I thought of the chorus of the song written by Andre Crouch, Through It All. Through It All. I've learned to trust in Jesus. Yep. I've learned to trust in God. That's why I'm singing Through It All. Keyboard lick. Through it all. Can you get on the keyboard, please? I've learned to depend on his word. Do you know that song? Do you know it? Does everyone know it? Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. That's why I'm singing Through It All. through it all. That's why I can depend on this woman. Through it all. She'll you right with that? Through it all. Sorry? Through it all. I've learned. Go up one bit. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. Come on, let's stand to your feet, shall we? That's why I'm singing through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, yes, I've learned to trust in God. That's why I'm singing through it all. Oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Sing it one more time. Come on, through it all, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, yes, I've learned to trust in God. That's why I'm singing through it all. Oh, 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 through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. Nothing surer, nothing greater, amen. Praise God, through it all. Has anyone else got a story of through it all? Learn to trust in Jesus, learn to trust in God. Think about it. We might get another chance in a moment. Kerry, do you want to move on, or we do communion? Or
I feel like I could preach sermon, but that's all right. Whatever you want. We're winging it today.
We're winging it? Maybe I'll just share. I've got a USB back there, Anthony, in the thing. That's. I'll just share a quick thought that God put on my heart. And I trust this is a real inspiration and a blessing. Back on the page one. That's it. Wow. Bit different to what I thought. But anyway, that's fine. You know, looking at... I don't know why I've got two microphones. I've got one on my head and one there. Getting excited. Am I turned on? I am. I'm going. Glory to God. You know, back in the book of Genesis, we all know the story of creation. And God, the picture there is quite incredible. And where it talks about God seeing the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. I've preached this in the church before, but just to recap on those things, the earth was without form didn't mean it didn't have a shape. It meant it had no structure. And void meant that it was in chaos. If you look up the Hebrew words there, it was without any given structure to its existence, and it was in chaos. Darkness covered the face of the deep. The first thing God did when He came along, He said, let there be light. Let there be light, and it was so. If you look at it in the Hebrew, it actually says light be and light was. That word for light is not light as we know it, as in day and night. Because if you look at the story of creation, it wasn't until day four that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and there was natural night for the day and the nighttime and with the moon, etc. So the light that He was talking about there was the word orei in the Hebrew, which is where we get our word order. Order in a chaotic, unstructured planet came into existence. Order. There's a parallel in this to our lives. When we are living our life without Christ, we have no form and we're void and we're covered in darkness. And God comes into our life, and the first thing He says is, light be, order. And we get an order that's godly, amen? I love the parallel. I really do. But that word order is an amazing word that covers not just a structural change, but you know, when we see things and you go, man, the light's just turned on. We get understanding. We get insight. We get illumination. We get a greater perspective of things, because when God's order is in our life, God can speak into our lives. God can speak into our hearts. God can show us things that we could never have seen when we're in darkness. And so it's an amazing picture of God's capacity to come in and say, light be, and light is. How many times have you seen people, you know, it says, lights might be on, but there's no one home. Different sort of light. and sometimes you say, oh, the lights aren't on there somewhere. There's no order. They're not comprehending. They're not understanding. And this is why people in darkness have no comprehension of God. They have no understanding of God. This world today has probably the greatest, least amount of understanding of God that I have ever seen. As I grew up in school as a kid, kids had some understanding that there was a God. Kids had some knowledge about God. Whether they went to Sunday school or not, whether they went to church or not, there was still a godly consciousness. Today, that's just obliterated. The world's done a great job in keeping people away from who God really is and a knowledge of God. People aren't searching for truth anymore. They're searching just for self-seeking pleasures and whatever. God doesn't seem to come into the equation. But you know, when Jesus came in the New Testament, and he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Think about that in the terminology of Genesis. I am not just the light, but the order, the structure, the direction, the illumination, the understanding. Everything that terminology light meant there is also what Jesus was talking about when he said, I am the light of the world. I'm showing you a new way. You've heard it said, but I say. How many times did he say that? You thought it was like this, but I'm telling you it's like that. He came in with a new understanding, a reformation. The earth was without form and void in the beginning. When Jesus came, it was without form. It had no godly structure to it. And it was in chaos. It was void. And people's lives were in darkness. And he came and he said, I'm the light of the world. Order be, and order is. The way God put it, I love the way God puts things. He does that amazingly. And then he turned around and he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he put it in a position that if I'm not here, things are going to change. So he had a plan and a purpose for this new regime of light or order, structure, and lack of chaos that he had purposed. And that purpose was where? Next verse. What's it say? No, not that one. Back. Matthew 5:14. He turned around and he said, you are the order of the world. You are the structure of this planet. You are the God-given light that people need to see, that men and women need to follow, that need to get a hold of my life through. That makes us really cringe. It makes me cringe. I don't know about you. But when God puts that level of responsibility onto his church, thank God he doesn't turn around and whip us over the head because we fail or we're not quite there. But he does give us an amazing capacity to seek him, to seek his face, to get to know him, to live in his presence, and to portray who he is in and through our lives wherever we go. I love it when I see people like these guys traveling around and coming from all parts of Victoria and getting together. You know, I really loved yesterday. you all pulled up in the car park and, yay, good to see you. I'm going, I hope they're not there. No, that's just freedom in fellowship, amen. It's freedom in God. It's freedom in Christ Jesus. He came, he said, I'm the order of the world. I'm the light of the world. And then he said, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. In other words, you'll begin to see, understand, comprehend, get to know things that you cannot know outside of me. I love that. And he came and he gave that new light, that new understanding. I am the light of the world. I am the order, godly order of this world. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm in the light of the world. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He handballed it. He handballed it. And he said, you. You are God's pattern of order, understanding, insight, illumination, godly presence, godly reflection, God's glory to the world. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Come on. It's too important not to. It really is. It's God's heart. It's God's cry. It's God's desire. It's God's pattern. It's God's purpose for you and I as his kingdom representatives, as his ambassadors to be God's order reflected in this world, God's light reflected in this world, God's way and structure being repositioned on this planet. Oh, I feel his heart. I really do. I really do. And the church is, it doesn't have plan B. Plan A was it. You and I need to bring what God wants into this planet in the form of godly structure and godly order and godly light and God's glory being reflected in and through our lives. Amen. And I really believe that that's the heart of God for his church in this era. I really believe that because like when I still go back to Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, gross darkness shall cover the earth and darkness all the people, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will be seen upon you. Come on. Come on. That prophetic word uttered so far back is never more important and never more of God's heart and God's plan and God's purpose than it is in this day and age right now. I really am so convinced that there will be a great outpouring of God's power and God's glory. But don't sit back and say, well, okay, God, I'm waiting. Do your best. When it falls, I'll get up and do something. And I think the church has had that mentality for a long time. Oh, we've been praying for revival. Oh, we've been praying for God to pour out his spirit. Well, he already did that. Oh, we've been praying for a move of God. Get off your butt. If you are God's people, God's can't move unless you move. God can't move unless I move. God can't move unless we begin to do something. That's what faith is all about, because when we move, we activate the Spirit of God to move with us. Is that right? I believe that. Thoroughly believe that. And over the last little bit, God has challenged me amazingly to be a person who believes God for answer to prayer, to lay hands on sick and not just pray God heal them, say, in the name of Jesus, such as I have, give I thee, rise and walk. Come to an understanding that if I dwell in his presence, I carry his presence. If I dwell and live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus spiritually, it needs to be transmitted physically in and through who I am. And seeing that, when Jesus said before he left, he said, the works I do, you will do, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. I'm like, why did he go to the Father? So he could take us there with him. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Why? Jesus withdrew himself so many times to pray. And he sought his Father spent fellowship with him, and then came and did what the Father told him to do. You and I are in that presence of God to hear his voice, to seek his face, and to do what he tells us to do. Whoa, that's scary, isn't it? I've said this before to church here, but I'll reiterate again. I don't know about you, but you can relate to this, I'm sure. Going down a street, might be a busy street, might not be, and you see somebody who you know is in dire need, physically, financially, or whatever. You just happen to get this, and your heart goes out to them. Oh, that poor person. And you walk on. Anyone relate to that? Can anyone ever picture themselves in that scenario, seeing that happen? And you know, God convicted me one day about that. And he said, well, what are you going to do about it? I just prayed. What else have I got to do? No. You need to act on that. And it's happened several times. And I thank God for the opportunity where, even with my wife, walking through Tamworth, a similar scenario, had to turn around and go back. Guy in Bacchus Marsh, who was desperately feeling guilty over issues, God set him free, and he died a month later and went to glory. And he felt God didn't want him, God didn't love him, and God could never accept him. But God put him on my heart that day in the cafe there and went and talked to him. I could not stop, you know. And Jesus, in like manner, when he saw the need, whether it was in the multitude or individuals, was moved with what? Compassion. Compassion's God's heart. And if we're in his presence and we pick up his heart, compassion will move us to act. And we don't need to wait for a lightning strike from heaven or thunder to roll in the distance or roar of a motorcycle come up a road. We need to hear God's voice and act and move. And you know, faith, when we move, we're never on our own. Faith is just the step we take, and God's already in front of us, going ahead of us, and he prepares the way before us. Often we don't see too far ahead. His word is a lamp unto our feet, so we sometimes can only see one step at a time, but it's a light to our pathway, and sometimes he'll show us a little bit further in front. But you know, he doesn't show us the whole picture, because faith doesn't need the whole picture. Faith needs a step. Say, Lord, what's the next step? Ah, thy word is a lamp to my... Oh, yes, I see, Lord. You know, and you get a picture of a pathway that he's leading you on, and you've just got to keep following, keep moving. And if that last scripture, you are the light of the world, a city or a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden, like a city on a hilltop is a way of putting it. You know, if a city on a hilltop has all its lights on, you can see it for miles. I love that picture. I love that illustration that God's used there in his word. But last night we were watching Christian TV and something came up, and this quote, I've embellished it a little bit. Go to the next one, Mash. It started from a quote of a Jewish rabbi. We are supposed to be the light to the whole world, declaring and showing the glory of God. But, now this is a Jewish rabbi who is obviously a part of the Christian movement. If we're only a light in our homes and in our churches, we are not the light we're supposed to be. This next line is mine. That's where he finishes. We are in effect hidden, ineffective, and not shining into a darkened and a lost world. God said, light be, when he saw no structure, chaos, and darkness. And he put us in a position where there is no structure, chaos, and darkness in so many people's lives. And he gives us the capacity to be the light in that situation. I think we've got a responsibility to do what Jesus wants. Amen. I really believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And I would challenge you, next time you see somebody and you get that heart for them, don't just feel sorry for them. Take a step. I tell you what, it's worthwhile. Do something. Get, get, get out and do it. It doesn't matter how little, how big it is. Another time, Luke and I were sitting at a cafe here in Gisborne and didn't even get to talk to the person. I saw someone sitting on a table outside on his own. Didn't look like he had 2 cents to rub together. I just felt God say, pay his bill. I didn't get any inspiration to do anything else, to talk to him, to do whatever. So we left and went to the register and table 12, and I want to pay for table 4, whatever outside as well, please. Oh, is he a friend of yours? No, but he's a friend of someone I know. It's all you need. You just don't know how God can use a seed that's sown in any given situation. I never heard the full story of Rake's testimony there earlier, but I was privy to the earlier days when he wanted me to pray. He never even gave me the details. Just said, we've got some decisions to make. We've got some issues in our lives. Can you just stand with us in prayer? Glory to God. I remember that clearly. And woo-hoo! He never fails. And through it all, we learn to trust in Jesus. And you know, if you'll take that one step of faith, the next one's easier. Then the next one becomes even easier. And the next one, you don't even think about it. You get a prompting and you say, hi, I'm Ken. Lovely to meet you. I just felt I should come and talk to you. And it becomes a natural part of your life. Now, we walk in wisdom and we're not foolish, but we've got to know it's God. When God does something like that in our lives, the door will always be open. The receptivity will be there. And the answer that God wants for that person's life could be just a prayer away. Could be just some word of encouragement. And I believe that God wants his church. This is great being here. But let me tell you something. We need to be active once you leave here. Out there is where the darkness is. Out there is where the chaos is. Out there is where the lack of structure is. And the light, the order of God, is in you and me to make a change. Glory to God. Oh, he's good. He is good. He is good. He is good. Anyone else got something to share now that I'm... Come on, Dawn, I had a gut feeling there. Come on. Do you want a mic? Come on. Yes. I don't care. You can sit down and talk if you want to. There you go.
Is it on? Oh. Well, I came home. I've been, with this COVID, I have been living in Frankston for the last, probably nearly all of this year, in a motel room, simply because I work at Monash University and I'm a nurse. And so it's been quite an interesting year. So we've had to do online teaching where we've had students overseas and students who are living in the backs of their cars and all kinds of things. And because where I live in Gisborne South, there's no internet, I have this little place that I stay in down in Frankston. And it's probably a place where the most vulnerable people live. And so when I went down there for the second time, I couldn't get home because we had the Ring of Steel and I have a daughter who's got a chronic illness. And so because being a nurse and being involved with COVID patients and students who are doing placement and going into those particular places, I thought I'd better stay down there. So I did stay down there, and what a lesson it's actually been. And I didn't think it was actually any form of lesson, but talking about the most vulnerable people down there, my next door neighbor is known as the medicine man, and I can probably know who the big drug lord is of Frankston, and this man sells guns and tasers and all kinds of things. But he is actually, I just know him as Justin. And his granddad died and he was heartbroken and we would talk. And where I'm staying in this, which I won't name, this motel, there are people who the Department of Human Services who are homeless would get given a room. And so there'd be homeless people, people who've lost all their family because of alcoholism and they've got no one to see them. So, and there was a man who, there's so many stories, there's oodles of stories. There's Jimmy, who from Scotland, and he used to be a boxer, but he's got also alcoholism. And I would take him for a walk every day to the pier because he's also got early stages of dementia. And so I'd look out for Jimmy and make sure he's got brekkie, breakfast, and check his fridge to throw out the rotten food. And Justin, we'd have a chat about his granddad. And then there's Leroy upstairs from New Zealand, lovely Maori man, been in prison 3 times and solitary confinement. And he would, if you just say to him, how are you going? Oh, I'm a bit, tell me I'm not being paranoid, and something would be happening. And then he'd be finding that you have a chat with him. But the man upstairs from me, he's at the end stage of alcoholism. And there would be times that he would fall. And so I'd go upstairs and I'd feel, you know, I'd hear him, so I'd run upstairs. And so we actually had this sort of, I said to him, if you're feeling unsafe, tap on the floor 3 times, because he'd have a cup of tea, but it wasn't tea, it was wine. And it was always just wine, and he never ate. So if he was in the middle of the night feeling frightened, you tap on the floor, and so I could go up, and we had a deal that he wouldn't lock the door, because, you know, if he was frightened that if he fell, no one would find him and he would die. And so, yeah, there was all of that. And so he was meant to be going into care. And so the agreement was Connect Church would come down to where I was staying. And oh, so wow. They would actually bring food on Thursdays. And so I got that food as well. In fact, I was quite pleased because I was still at the same time teaching at all hours of the day and night. But having all of these people, because, you know, to just people who've got all kinds of mental health conditions and suicides and domestic violence and fighting and all kinds. The things I've seen in the last 6 months have been quite remarkable. And I teach about vulnerable populations I'm a primary health nurse and end of life care nurse. But with Murray, I'd make him toast and jam every day. Tea, well, I try to make him tea, but he ate wine. And you just have to accept who people are, because the heart of the people was beautiful. And so I was having people coming to me saying, what are you doing down there? And I'd say, I'm perfectly fine. There was probably only a couple of times where I was probably a little unsafe. And but by and large, it was fine. And so in the end, you know, by just being part of this community of making people toast, checking their fridge, chatting in the sunshine, taking to the walk to the pier, not one person in that community who they thought with some really significant issues, not one person got COVID, nobody got sick, we all survived, we're all here. And since I've got home, yeah, I missed them.
Huh. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and you know, they contact me and they say, oh, when you're coming back? I said, I'll be back in 2 weeks' time because I've kept the place. But they watch my flat, so they look out for me. I'm the one that I don't drink. I don't do any form of drugs. I'm kind of relatively stable. But by going in there and just not being judgmental and just being and accepting and just realizing every single person there had a story. They didn't start out who they were. They were people who had jobs, had careers. Maybe they lost their jobs, they lost their family. But when you actually got to the heart of the person, they were beautiful. Yeah. And so while my husband at home was going, what on earth are you doing down there? He came down one night. I didn't know he'd come down, and there was some violence happening, and whatever makes you stand between two men to stop them fighting. I was saying, stop fighting. Murray, go upstairs. Jimmy, who's 80, thinks he can still box. You go to your room. Patching them all up. And then when I went back to my room, there's my husband. What are you doing here? He said, where have you been? I said, oh, well, just, you know, patching him up and doing that. And I've probably given more statements to the police in the last 6 months of... What did you see? Well, this and this and this and this. But long story short, I didn't think about it until you were talking that maybe there was something that was just, you know, that God was keeping us safe. But you don't think about it. You just be, and you just do, and you don't consider it and think you're doing anything good. But when you come home, and you've got people texting you, my daughter said, "You've had more text, Jimmy. He hasn't gone to the pier since I've left. Leanne is a single mum who's had been basically on the street since she was 13. I would talk to her, and she says, "Oh, I miss your head." We would sit and talk in the sunshine. So I haven't made toast for, you know, whatever. But all these people, and you know, they're all still alive and they're all still here. And I think people thought it would all crumble, but we all survived and I came home. Oh. And that was my story.
Glory to God, Dawn. Through it all. Through it all. We learn to trust in Jesus. We learn to trust in God. That's it. We go through these things and through it all. Through it all, we learn to depend upon His word. Nothing like that can be a greater experience in God. When you meet the people that God loves, that God created, and you're able to be a light to them. You're able to offer a voice, a listening ear, a walk to appear. Wow. Touching God. And Connect Church are down there working with these people. Lord, I just pray you'll give them an opportunity. Greater opportunities in this family and in this group and amongst these people. And with Dawn or anyone else like her, Lord, that meets up with them to be a light. A city on a hill that can't be hidden in Jesus' name. A city hidden, built on a hill, Lord God, not hidden, but the light that shines out and reflects your glory, your love, your order, and removes the chaos and removes the darkness and brings structure into broken lives in Jesus' name. I guess you'd relate to that, having a fancy yak and dander. We'll talk to you about yak and dander after. Got a couple of people who go there regularly. But glory to God. Can we come around the table of the Lord and share communion right now? Anyone handing out or someone passing out whatever's there? Probably the most greatest event. Or not probably, but definitely the greatest event in history was when Jesus took the chaos, took the lack of structure, took the darkness and nailed it to a tree in Calvary and said, "You come to me. He that follows me will not walk in darkness." Woo-hoo! How great is that? How good is that? And how wonderful is that? That our God came and gave himself to set us free from the treachery of this world's chaos and sin and disarray, and says, in our lives, order already be and already was. So I thank God for that. And we're all the same. We're all the same. We can trust him and bless his name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Someone from over here, please give thanks for what Jesus did for the bread and the cup. Come on, guys. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. Thank you for your life poured out. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, we honor you. Such a you, Lord. And Jesus took the bread and he said, this is my body. Take, eat. Not in remembrance of a dying Jesus on a cross, but of a victorious Savior who gave his life for us and set us free. Let's eat the bread together in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And after the same manner, he took the cup. He said, hey, there's a new covenant that this blood seals that is eternal, that's yours to walk in, that's yours to be a participant in, that's yours to experience, that's yours to receive. We're part of the greatest covenant ever made, where God's life is poured out for each one of us, and not only for us, but through us. We receive it in the name of Jesus as we drink together. Amen.